I'm thankful that we can come to church on a Wednesday night and hear some testimonies, and Sunday night and Sunday morning, amen. And I just appreciate the church. I was sitting there thinking tonight, we've been so blessed to have such a good church to come to all these years. And in 2026, a lot of things have changed, but I'm glad we still, like they sung that song a while ago, I'll take the old highway. And that's the only way for me, amen. I know it's the only way for you. And I've learned if anything new comes down the pipe, just step back and watch it for a long time, or watch it, whoever, for a long time, because there's nothing new under the sun, amen. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you'll stand with us tonight, I want to begin reading verse number 3, just a brief message tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you for the good singing, the good testimonies, your presence, Lord, that's been in this place. And I pray now you'll bless the reading of thy word. Give us something that will help us down life's journey. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's precious name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. You know, Paul is emphasizing doctrine in this passage of Scripture. If you'll notice in verse number 3, at the end of this verse, he says that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And then if you go over to verse number 10, in the end of that verse, he said, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So Paul, in verse number 3, he talks about corrupt doctrine. That would be any other doctrine. And then he talks about the correct doctrine, sound doctrine, in verse number 10. And you know, the Bible said in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we are certainly living in that day, amen, when it seems like there's an all-out attack on doctrine and what we believe and where we stand. And I want to preach a few minutes tonight on that subject, on the battle over sound doctrine, amen, the battle over sound doctrine, because Paul is leaving Timothy here at Ephesus because there is a battle over sound doctrine. You'll notice in verse number 3, Paul mentions the preacher here as he talks about Timothy in verse number 1 and 2, but he says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. So Timothy wanted to go with Paul, but Paul needed him to abide at Ephesus, and he trusted him to stay and to preach the sound doctrine and to withstand that doctrine that was contrary to the Word of God. You know, I want to say thank God for a young preacher here that you could trust, that a man of God could trust when he wasn't there to do what was right in the absence of his presence. Now that's the kind of preacher that Timothy was. And so there is the preacher, and then there is the place. Ephesus was a very special place to the Apostle Paul. You remember in the book of Acts how that Paul met with them and he wept with them. And this was a church. If you go back and study the church of Ephesus, it was a very fruitful church in the book of Acts. It was a very fiery church in the book of Ephesians. But when we get to Revelation chapter number 3, it becomes a fallen church that has left its first love. Amen? And we're already seeing the early signs of that here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. It ought to be a reminder to us tonight that no matter how strong and no matter what kind of track record a church has, it doesn't take long for a church to go south. Amen? You know what has to happen? Changing of doctrine. Amen? Just moving the needle just a little bit here and just
just a little bit there, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, amen? And so there is the preacher in verse 3, there is the place, and then there is the problem here. Paul said that thou mightest charge some, not all, but some, that they teach no other doctrine here. So there were some who had risen up and who were teaching false doctrine in the church. Now, this text here indicates that it might even be some of the elders that was in the church, because if you go back and study, you know that they would have been dear to the apostles' heart. And verse number 7 says that they were desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So an elder would have been one that would have been teaching. Amen. And so here we find there is a problem. So when we get to verse number 4, Paul is going to lay out from verse number 4 down to verse number 7, he's going to lay out corrupt doctrine. And certainly we have corrupt doctrine in the hour that we're living in. It was a problem in Paul's day and in Timothy's day, and it's still a problem in the day that we're living in today. Amen? You see, the Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. And we're to stand for the truth, and we are to stand on the truth. Now, I want to say tonight, I'm not against personalities. I have met some down through the years that they would get hung up and they would be against this preacher or against that preacher. But I don't want to teach people to be against people. Amen? That's not what Christianity is. In other words, that's why I don't name names when I preach. Now, some people may do that, and that's their business. I might mention Joel Osteen, a false prophet, or somebody like that, or you know, Rick Warren, you know, somebody that would take. But there's some men that maybe you wouldn't see eye to eye with, and we wouldn't agree with on some things. But I don't want to teach people to be against a personality. Amen. We're to stand for doctrine. Amen. And you can be against certain principles without being against certain people. Now, that doesn't mean I'm promoting them people, but what I'm trying to say to you is that Paul was wanting Timothy to teach this church, just stick with what you know. Just stick with the doctrine. Amen. Just keep preaching the same thing. Just keep standing for the same thing. And the reason for that is because then it doesn't matter who changes. Amen. If you know what you believe and you know why you believe what you believe, now I'm going to tell you, if I start changing, a red flag's going to go up. Amen. Because it's not about a personality. Amen. In other words, you won't look another way just because of who it is if you're sound in your doctrine. Amen. And so he talks about corrupt doctrine. He talks about the error of corrupt doctrine. Look at verse number 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. So he says here, we're not to give ourselves to fables, to endless genealogies. We're not to, in other words, we're not to follow after things that have no eternal value, or things that may touch our emotions, but there may not be any truth or very little truth in them. And isn't it amazing how people are swayed by charisma and personality and maybe a sad story that may motivate them? Now listen, I know God can use an illustration. I'm not against illustrations, you know that. But I tell you, there better be more than a sad story in a sermon. Amen. A sermon ought to be filled with truth. It ought to be filled with the Word of God. It ought to be a doctrine. When Paul told Timothy, preach the Word, and he said, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Amen. So what we believe matters. Amen. And here the error of corrupt doctrine is that it's fables and genealogies, which minister questions. In other words, there's a generation today, they don't have any answers, but they love to question everything. You know, you don't have to come to church. There's nothing wrong with asking a question. There's a difference in asking a question, wanting. You say, well, what's the difference in asking a question and questioning things? Well, when people ask a question, generally they're wanting to find the answer. But when people go around and say, well, I question whether or not we need a pulpit. Why do we need a pulpit on the platform? Well, Ezra stood on a pulpit of wood. That was a platform. And some people would say, well, you know, that's debate. They question everything. Well, why do we got to sing those type of songs? And so it's the matter of spirit. Amen? You could ask a question. Why is it important that we have a pulpit in the center of the building here? Because the preaching of the Word of God is the most important thing. Amen? This is the sacred desk. It's where the Word of God is proclaimed. You can ask a question without questioning every motive and thing. He talks about the error of corrupt doctrine, the end of corrupt doctrine. How do you end it? Notice what he said in verse number 5. It's out of holy charity. He said, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Holy charity, holy conscience. He said, and of a good conscience. And holy creed, faith that is genuine, that is unfeigned. Here's what he is saying. He's saying, you want to overcome the error of corrupt doctrine. I'll tell you how to end it. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with holy charity. It has to do with a holy conscience. It has to do with a holy creed. And that's what's wrong with some people. Why do some people not want to hear the truth? Well, they don't have genuine faith. Amen? Why do some people not want to hear the truth? They got a guilty conscience, not a godly conscience. Why do some people not want to hear the truth? They don't have holy charity. It's not out of a pure heart. They don't love God. They're not searching for the truth. They're just wanting to argue. They're just wanting to debate. They're just wanting to raise issues. Amen. Now, there's some people, if you said the sky's blue, they'll say, well, it's not blue all the time. They just like to be contrary, don't they? If you said, you know, I'm thankful for, I don't know. They just like to argue. You can't help somebody like that. The Bible calls that person a fool. A fool is somebody that is wise in their own eyes. A fool uttereth all of his speech. A fool doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. A fool doesn't know how to bridle his tongue. A fool has all the answers. Amen? He that is of a faithful spirit, the Bible said he concealeth the matter. So there's the effects of corrupt doctrine. What does corrupt doctrine do? Look at verse number 6. He said, from which some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling. I thought, what is that word jangling? Well, if you got a Rock of Ages Bible and you look down at the footnote, it's interesting. Vain jangling says foolish discussions and empty babblings like the nonsense of an idiot. Now that's not me. It's in your Bible, but it's not in the Holy Writ. But if you got a Rock of Ages Bible, you know I just read that word for word. Foolish discussions, empty babblings. You know, people sit around and discuss the Word of God, and I think the Word of God ought to be taught and preached. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions. But some people, they ask the most foolish questions. Like, where did Cain get his wife? Who cares? But if you go back and read the account, it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Well, you say there's no way he married his sister. Well, if he didn't, who did he marry? That's just how it is. Genesis 6, were they sons of angels? Were those sons of God? Were they angels, or were they the godly lineage of Cain? Of Seth, and the ungodly lineage of Cain. Who is the sons of men and the sons of God here? Who are those people? Well, you know, you say, well, preacher, where do you stand? I don't really stand either way. You say, you don't know? No, I never have studied it. I just hadn't had time. It's not something I'm interested in. You say, why? Well, one, I wasn't there. Two, I hit a stump when I said that. I don't know what y'all believe, but believe whatever you want to about it. It just doesn't matter to me in eternity. I'm not going to get up here and preach a sermon tonight. I'm not saying it's wrong to teach and to lay out both sides and let people decide for themselves. But what I am saying is I wouldn't debate the issue with somebody. If somebody, you know, somebody believed they were demons that roamed the earth, go ahead and help yourself. If somebody believed that they were of the ungodly lineage of Cain, then go ahead and believe that. Amen? You say, why does it matter? Well, it really doesn't matter in eternity. It's one of the two. But what I'm saying is I wouldn't waste my time arguing the point. Does that see what I'm saying? The derailment of verse number 6, from which some having swerved, they got off on some tangent. They went off somewhere else and they derailed because they got hung up on something. You know, that it's true about Calvinism, because nobody becomes a Calvinist from reading the Bible. Amen? The Bible teaches a whosoever will gospel. And so if you're a Calvinist, you have to read after other Calvinists and be taught that doctrine in order to believe that, but you don't get it from reading the Word of God. And many other things we could say. That's just an example. And then there's the desire, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. I remember one time somebody visited the church and was praying about joining the church, but they told me, they said, "Now, I would join the church if I could have a Sunday school class." And I was kind to them. I said, "Well, that's just not how we do things." And they didn't join the church because they felt like they wanted to go somewhere where they could teach. But you know, that would not be the deciding factor for where I became a member of a church. You see, if you have the gift to teach, or those gifts, one of those speaking gifts, he gave some pastors, some evangelists, some teachers. You know how to know if a person really has that gift? It's real simple. God opens the doors for them. Anybody can get up and say they have the gift to be an evangelist, pastor, or teacher, but if there's no open doors, then maybe that's not the gift. You don't have to kick a door open. You don't have to promote yourself. God will open those doors if that's true. But here they were desiring to be teachers, but you notice their dumbness. The Bible says that they understood neither what they say nor whereof they affirm them. So there's corrupt doctrine. And then when we get to verse number 8, Paul talks about the correct doctrine. He talks about the character of the law in verse 8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. It has to be used the right way. And then there's the caution of the law, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for who? Notice he gives the condemnation. That's what the law does. It condemns man. Why? That he might be brought to the gospel, that he might see his need. He talks about the lawless there. That's those that shows defiance here. And then he talks about the disobedient. Amen? And then the ungodly. That's the disrespect. Those that have no respect or no reverence for the things of God, for sinners. He's talking about the depraved. Of course, every man is depraved. We know that. But a man must see himself a sinner, and the law helps a man to see himself depraved and as a sinner. He talks about the unholy, that's the defiled there, and that's what the law does. It shows us that we can never add up. We can never meet God's standard. You know, we might feel pretty good when we measure ourselves based to somebody else, because we can always find somebody that would make us feel better about ourselves. Amen? But the bottom line is we're all sinners. Amen? We're all sinners. But when we measure ourselves against God's standard, then Romans 3:23 comes into play. The Bible said, "For all have sinned, missed the mark." Amen? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so he talks about those that are defiled, the unholy, the profane. He talks about those that are again, the profane person is a person that mocks, a person that laughs. They're a scorner at the things of God. You know, some people, and you have to be careful. You don't mock the holy things of God. You know, this is a holy place, isn't it? And it's God's place. It's just a building in and of itself, but it's been dedicated. It's been sanctified. And we don't want to get casual in the house of God. I think we ought to reverence the Lord's house. We ought to reverence the Lord's property. We ought to take good care of everything. It doesn't belong to me and you, but it belongs to Him. It's His psalm books. It's His chairs. It's His pulpit. I mean, it's all been dedicated for the glory of God. But profane people, they mock and they ridicule God. They have no respect for the things of God. Disrespect, the disturbed murderers of fathers and mothers. I'm telling you, someone that would take the life of their father or their mother, they're a disturbed individual, aren't they? And then there's the destruction, murders of manslayers. Talks about the dirty whoremongers. You know, we live in a society that is so full of just filthiness, dirtiness. I'm telling you, you've got to have boundaries. You've got to have accountability. You've got to have things on your phone now when you can just be looking for something wholesome or something that's needful. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you can get into a cesspool of sin nowadays. And we live in a dirty world where men's minds are perverted in this hour. It's not, hey, I'm going to tell you, even at church, listen to me, even at church, you have to be careful. You have to know where your children are. You know, there's cameras all around this place, inside and out. You say, is that necessary? Absolutely it's necessary, and it's sad that it is necessary, but we're living in a day of perverts, amen? I mean, you don't trust people. You can love people, you can pray for people, and you can be good to people, but I'm telling you, if there's a red flag that goes up, I mean, you need to pay attention to that. You don't need to go out and tell 29 other people about it and create a lot of drama, amen? But you do need to be aware of things. You need to know where your children are at all times, amen? They need to be in the same one. You know, you take this building that we're in here. You know, this upper and lower level over here, it needs to be off limits when we're not having Sunday school, unless you're accompanied and supervised by an adult. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because evil things happen. I'm telling you, and people are so perverted nowadays, they don't care if you got cameras or not. I mean, some people are so far out into that stuff, they can't help themselves, is what I'm trying to tell you. And it just takes a moment. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm just telling you that we are living in a day of whoremongers. You know, I appreciate this about this church, but this didn't happen just by accident. But in this church, women will give women a hug, and men will give a man a handshake, or he may give them a hug. But we don't cross over like that. Amen. And I know sometimes I've been places and you get caught in they're innocent. I understand. But I tell you what, I mean, you got to keep all them boundaries in play, because it ain't natural. I mean, God gives you a wife, He gives you children, and you say, well, I don't mean anything by it, and maybe you don't, but you can get in a world of trouble. You can kindle fires that don't need to be kindled. Amen. And then you don't never know the other person's motive too. So it's just better to keep them lines drawn. Isn't that right? That's not because we're super spiritual. No, it's because we recognize our flesh. Amen. And I'm just simply saying, you know, you got to be careful about people. We live in a day of whoremongers. And so there's a lot that could be said about that. But let me just say, then there's the disgusting, those that defile themselves with mankind, those that deceive men dealers and the dishonest liars. Don't just stop and say something. People don't think nothing about telling lies anymore. You know, if you lie all the time, if lying just comes like that for you, and you're always lying, you're always covering something up, you need to check up. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Now, that's everybody has told a lie. If I stood up here and told you, and I'm not proud of this, if I stood up here and told you I've never told a lie my whole life, well, then I just lied to you. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Compared to God, we're all liars tonight, or have. But what is it talking about when it said all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire? It's talking about a lifestyle. Talking about people that's always having to tell a lie, to cover up a lie, because they're doing things they're not supposed to be doing, or they're engaging in things they're not supposed to be engaging in, so they have to lie. You know, that's the thing about lying. When you tell one, you can't just tell one. You got to tell a second one and a third one. And it must be a terrible way to have to live, always be looking over your shoulder, wondering when something's going to catch up with you. And I promise you, it will catch up with you. Amen. We will reap what we sow. Amen. In this walk of life. You cannot tell lies and get by with that. And if you're here tonight, I know it's Wednesday night, but if you're here tonight and you got a bad habit of lying, then you need to come talk to God about that tonight. You need to ask the Lord to show you, are you saved? And if you are saved, I'll tell you this much, if you're saved and you tell a lie, then it's going to bother you, because the Holy Spirit will not let you get by with that. The second you tell that lie, the Holy Spirit will say to you,
You're lying. You're a liar. Oh, it's a serious business tonight, isn't it? Then let me say tonight, there's the dishonest, defamation, those that perjured, the despisers, anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, correct doctrine. You know what it does? It exposes all these things. It's a long list of things, isn't it? 14 things. Correct doctrine, it exposes all that. And here's the thing. I'll give you this and be done here in a minute. When you go to church and the Sunday school teachers, and the preacher is preaching the Word of God, things are going to be exposed. You know, and that's the day we're living in. People, they like good singing. Some people like good shouting, and we love that. Some people, what I'm saying, they come in our church and they see that and they're like, man, that's what I want. I've been looking for that. I mean, we've had people come through. One man told me one night at the back door, he said, man, we've been looking for this place for 13 years. I should have known 13 is an unlucky number, they say. That's what he told me. He said, 13 years we've been looking for this place. I told my wife, I went home all fired up. I said, well, they're probably joining tonight. They never even came back another service. I reckon they just figured, well, we know where it's at if we ever need them. Amen. Yeah. 13 years, one service, never came back. People, they like the singing. They like the excitement. They like the thrill. They like the spontaneous services. But I'll tell you what gets some of them is when a preacher gets up or Brother Danny's up here. He was teaching. I walked in. He was teaching on adultery Sunday. Don't you thank God for a Sunday school teacher that will say something about adultery? You say, why was he saying that? Because he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus spoke about it. Hey, I thank God he didn't bypass it. I'm glad he didn't jump it. Amen. He didn't want to talk about divorce. You know, hey, pray for him. That's not an easy subject to get up and preach because people's been through that. They've been hurt and you love them people and you don't want to hurt them when you're up preaching or teaching, but you also got to help all these others here and that's what he's going to have to teach that either this Sunday or next or sometime. So pray for him. But hey, thank God you go to a church where we don't call it, we don't skip a verse or go somewhere else because it's just a little bit easier. No, I'm telling you, things are going to get exposed. Hallelujah. I need things to be exposed in my life, don't you? And I'm telling you, all these years after being saved, I still need to hear it. I've not been divorced, Brother Terry. I've not been divorced, but I need to hear that. Because you say, why? Because it could happen to me. Amen. Yeah. And I feel for people that's been through that. It's an awful thing. But the Word of God, it just, correct doctrine, it helps us all be right, don't it? I've had, things that man of God would be up preaching and I'd get under deep conviction about it. And I thank God that the Lord let me hear that. Sometimes it can be hard pills to swallow, can't it? Dress codes. Standards. You know, I've just been so busy. I hadn't even made the, and I'm not making it tonight because it's Wednesday night, but I haven't made the yearly announcement. I need to make that Sunday. Don't let me forget that, okay? I don't make that to be mean to nobody. I tell you, it did cross my mind. It was Easter Sunday, and I don't want to say it on Easter. I don't want to say it on Mother's Day. But you go. You ever let it get started in here? It ain't going. We're never going to get it back. And I appreciate the people here. I appreciate all these ladies when you come here. And I'm not talking about a visitor. You know that. But I appreciate all these ladies wearing dresses, don't you? And wearing them to the bottom of their knee or longer. Don't you appreciate that? And we're not riding some hobby horse. That's not what we're all about. But we, one man said, well, down there at that church, you be careful. They believe in hairlines or they measure hairlines and hemlines. And the man asked me that. I said, we don't do that. But I said, we believe in both of them. Is that right tonight? We're not going that far with it, but to say we don't believe it would be a lie. We believe that. Amen. And I'll tell you something I appreciate about the ladies of this church. I'm glad y'all don't wear a bunch of sleeveless stuff here to church. Now, if you're in your backyard working, and you're out there and you're getting a little sun on your arms, I'm not fussing about that. That's your business, I'm not even mad about it. But you say, Brother Gravy, why do you say that here? I'll tell you why, and I need to say it Sunday. Y'all please pray, I won't forget that. You say, why do you say that? I'll tell you why I say it. Because, Brother Laddie, it don't stop here. It just keeps growing. You see what I'm saying? Amen. We're just trying to hold a standard. We're just trying to keep it right. Yeah, you know, I don't want to see undergarments when you go to church. Is that right? And you know, so it has to be said, doesn't it? Well, that's correct doctrine, isn't it? Okay, Miss Sheila, come on. I've done dug myself in a hole. Maybe you can play me out of this one, okay? Hey, I appreciate that the ladies of this church, y'all feel the same way, don't you, ladies? Don't you thank God for that? And I'm not down on people. I go places. Listen, when I walk in a church, there's things I don't preach other places sometimes. Some things. Not many, but there is some things. Not many. I would preach that somewhere else. But there's some things I'm not going to preach because I don't pastor that church. That's I'm not accountable for that. But I am accountable to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. We have to give an account for what we say and for what we hear. And what I'm saying to you tonight, let me just give you this. I want to give you this. I wrote this down. Here's how you keep sound doctrine, okay? Let me give you this. Here's how you keep sound doctrine. Bible reading. Read your Bible every day. Familiarize yourself with the Word of God. Bible study. Bible reading, but Bible study. Search some things out. Bible teaching. Attend Sunday school. Bible preaching. Write down some things or listen intently, whatever you do. Write down sermons. Listen. And then pray for wisdom and understanding every time you open your Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding to what you read. Bible reading, Bible study, Bible teaching, Bible preaching. Pray for wisdom and understanding. And read good books. Pick up a book and read something. You know, this week I asked the Lord, I started Monday. I said, Lord, I was working on some sermons, and I said, Lord, would you... I turned to Luke 15 Monday, and I said, Lord, you want me to preach out this chapter again? I said, if you do, would you please give me something to preach? And I'm going to tell you something. Right then and there, God just dropped something in my lap. It don't happen that way every day, but He gave me something. Tuesday morning, I said, Lord, I'm going to go back and look at this again, and maybe you want me to work on this a little more. Maybe you want me, and He gave me another thought. I'm telling you, pray before you read. I'm not smart. I don't have all that figured out. You could come ask me something I preached a year ago, and I may have to go back and study it a second time. As I'm just telling you, this book's so full, isn't it? But if you'll ask God, Lord, help me to understand what I read today. You know what it does? It strengthens sound doctrine. Know what you believe, young people. Know what you believe, why you believe it, and don't compromise. Let's stand tonight and preach long, didn't mean to, but just had a burden tonight to preach. So if you need to use the altar while we sing, you just obey God. Oh.